This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Mark chapter 11. We're teaching from the foundational text of Matthew 9, 29, where Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. This is our eighth lesson on the faith development concepts. And we're going to talk about proper management of the faith fruit. Proper management of the fruit of your faith. That when you get the manifestation, what do you do? Because the process hadn't ended until you exercise proper stewardship over the manifestations. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 11, here Jesus talks on he teaches on the faith principle. Of course, we've been teaching on them for all of these lessons. Let's pick it up in verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. And what's going to happen? Shall have them. So, I mean, Jesus says you're going to have it. That means that it's going to come to pass. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 12, because we need to know why God wants to bless us. And in Genesis chapter 12, since we are, you know, joint heirs with Jesus and the blessings of Abraham are ours, we need to understand what God, the responsibility that God laid on Abraham when he blessed him. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt what? Thou shalt what? Be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So when God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. Now look at the person next to you and say, when God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. Now, faith fruit, we want to give a definition. Faith fruit are the physical, tangible, touchable manifestations of the things that I have released my faith for. It is the manifestation of what I have believed for. Now, when I have the thing that I have believed for, I have received my fruit, and God has designed us to be fruitful. That's his purpose for our lives. Genesis chapter 1. Go there with me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So God created us to be productive and to have results. That's the order of God. Now, so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. I want you to look at the Amplified. Those of you who have the Light Sword Amplified Bible, it says there in verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, watch this, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So you can see that God says, I want you to take the resources, I want you to use them, not just to heap them upon yourself, but use them in the service of God and the service of man. So when God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. And now this has got to get your heart right, because initially when you first hear about being blessed, you're not thinking about anybody else. All you're thinking about is yourself. Amen. You got it? When you hear about prosperity, you ain't thinking about no the kingdom of God. You ain't thinking about nobody else. You think about all the bills that you got to pay, you follow me, and all the things that you've been, you know, you want that you don't have money for, that you believe you can use your faith to get. Amen. Now is a time when you have to really, really get your heart right. Your heart motive is so critical in faith. If your heart motive is right, you're going to do right with the manifestation. Amen. Now, all right, God doesn't mind us having things. He does not mind you having things. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So God doesn't mind you having things. Got it? So you should never feel guilty for being blessed. Or embarrassed. Amen. Or shame for being blessed. Amen. You know, and you say, well, how you feel ashamed to be blessed? Well, I got to tell you, if you don't really feel in your heart you deserve it, you get to the place where, you know, you're embarrassed to show it around others.
That's right. That's right.
Because of what they might say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I say, I have no problem driving my Rolls. No, no, no. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. He gives me richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think we need to look at that. That God delights. You got to understand, even though people may not be happy, God delights in his children enjoying the manifestations of their faith. He delights in it. And you really have to, see, you almost think you don't have to work on this for people, but you really do. Amen. You really do. See, you hear people talk down the things that they have. You give them a compliment, and you can tell when that intimidation and that embarrassment factor is there. They'll talk it down. Oh, this old dress, this ain't. Why it got to be old dress? I just give you a compliment that I like the dress. Oh, you know, I'd pick it up. This. Amen. Oh, man, look at that. This. Oh, you got your new car. No, it ain't new. It's got, it got 50,000 miles on that thing. It's new to you. Amen. But you see, it's that not, you know, I got to talk it down. It's that, you know, it's that false humility. Yeah. Got it? And you got to be persuaded. Look, God wants you to have. Amen. I just think you're just so arrogant. I don't care what you think. I'm free from you. Because you won't give me nothing. No way. Verse 17, all right. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what?
Enjoy.
Not to be ashamed of, but to enjoy. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. John 16, 23. Turn there. John 6. So you need to wash your brain with this. You can wash all that stuff out of your brain. You know what? Yeah. I think we were at one place and Griffiths, he went to a seminar and they were talking about, you know, the income of some churches and that sort of thing, and they asked for everybody over, you know, so many $100,000, you know, and you know, guys raised their hands, and you know Ray had to wait till the end because he asked who, you know, what churches were doing a million plus, and so Ray raised his hand and he said after the meeting, a guy come up to him and said, "I feel so sorry for you." Ray looked at him like, "What? You have $1 million to be accountable for. Ain't that dumb?" That is dumb. I'd rather have 10, 12 million to be accountable for than $10. I could do a whole lot more with 10 or 12 million. Yeah, trying to make it feel bad because our church was doing, you know, well over $1 million way back then, you know. We're doing well. We're doing very, very well. All right, watch this. Look at verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive." Why? Can you underline that? That your what?
Joy.
That your joy may be full. You do not have to try to con God to get blessed.
Yes.
"God, I want you to give me a car so I go pick up folk and bring them to church." You lying. You ain't going to pick nobody up and bring them to church. You don't have to try to pull that con on God. He just wants you to enjoy it. That's the kind of God he is. You got to get your heart right on that. Otherwise, you go to God with that old get-over mentality. You want a house because, you know, "God, I'm going to take the homeless in." You ain't taking the homeless in. You don't let some of your relatives stay with you. So you ain't going to let nobody you don't know. So you don't have to go. It's all right. Look at the person and say, "It's all right." No, that's it. Some of y'all I almost need to stay here a little bit, but I can't stay here too long. But it's all right.
That's right.
How could you wear diamonds like you wear them? Very easy. Take it and put on that thing. That's how I wear it, baby.
Amen.
Until you match my giving, don't talk to me.
Amen.
I'm talking about giving to the kingdom of God and giving to bless others. Don't even talk to me.
Amen.
See, so I'm not embarrassed at all about the blessings of the Lord. Luke 6:38 says, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom."
Amen.
Now, I saw that one day and understood that for God to keep his covenant of increase in the earth, he has to have somebody he can funnel it through.
Amen.
And I say, "God, make me the man."
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah. Now, so, all right. Psalms, let's make a note of this. Psalms 35, 27 says the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Well, how much more does he take pleasure in the prosperity of his children? Now, we're his children. So I got to be settled that it's okay. Look at the person and say, it's okay. All right, Ephesians 6 and 8, turn that way. It's okay. It's really okay. It's okay to be blessed and be a Christian. It's okay to have. What you going to do when you get to heaven? Heaven is so far beyond anything we could ever have here in the earth. We get to heaven, we're going to, I mean, look, okay, what you got? I mean, you know, take the richest person in the world. I doubt whether they paved their driveway with gold. I doubt whether they even paved that. The Bible says the streets are made of gold, not paved. Paved means that you just laid a layer on the top. God's streets made of gold from the top to the bottom, to the foundation.
Hallelujah.
Talking about heaven's going to be splendor. Yeah, it's going. You're going to be. No matter what you get on here, here in the earth, it cannot compare to what you're going to get in here. Hallelujah. All right. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 6? This is how to stay in the place of perpetual blessing, that you use the blessing of God to be a blessing in the earth.
Right.
Ephesians 6 and 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whatever good thing I do, guess what? God's going to make it happen back for me. So using your fruit to be a blessing is never going to depletion you, because God's going to make it happen back for you. Now you need to underline this scripture and really commit this scripture to heart. That whenever the Bible says, whatever good thing you make happen for others, God make happen for you. So whatever I can make happen for others, I have faith to believe that God can make that happen for me. Amen and amen. Look at the person next to you and say, when God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. There are five divine purposes of our faith fruit. In other words, the manifestation of the things that we believe for. Five things. Number one, to glorify God. To glorify God. God blesses us because he wants us to glorify him. Amen. I think I want you to go to John chapter 15. Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So God's glorified in our blessed state as the blessings manifest in our lives, to glorify God. Number two, God wants to use, purpose of our divine fruit is to satisfy temporal needs in the earth. Temporal needs in the earth. Either our temporal needs or the temporal needs of others. Number three, he blesses us so that we can be a channel of divine favor for others. So you will have the wherewithal. Have you ever had in your heart to do something, just didn't have the resources? Well, see, God wants to bless you so you'll not only have the heart desire, but you'll have the resources.
That's right.
Have you ever seen a child you'd like to pay their tuition to school?
That's right.
Amen. No matter how you want to, if you don't have the money, you can't do it. But wouldn't it be so good if you've used your faith to believe in abundance that now you're just waiting for God to tell you who to write the check to?
Amen.
All right. Now, number four. No, don't jump over. Don't jump on them. I'm going to work on number three a little bit before I go to number four. I'm going to work on number three. Now, it's important how we deal with others from the blessed state. Because when you arrive at a place of manifested blessing, it's a place of power.
That's right.
And you have to deal with certain people. I think it's four groups of people you have to deal with when you reach the place of manifested blessing and you have the power to go along with. Number one, you have to deal with the people who hurt you. You got the power to hurt them now. People who helped you. You got the power to be a blessing to folk who helped you. People who hid from you. No, they didn't help you and they didn't hurt you. They just didn't answer your call. They saw your number on the ID and wouldn't pick up the phone. Come on, y'all have folk who hide fear from you, honey. They just wouldn't return your call. They just conveniently wasn't around. You know, they didn't hurt you, but they didn't do anything to help you. They just kind of hid from you. Then you got to deal with people who hindered you. I mean, they had the power to help you, but they didn't. And they used their power to make it harder for you. Touch the person that said, don't go to sleep now. Please don't go to sleep now. Come on, wake up. And then those in your home. God wants you to be a blessing to your family. Some of God's blessings come on a person. It's to bless the whole family. Amen. And you need to know how to do it. You need to know how to deal with people in your family who are in the godly blessed state. You really need to know and really need to keep it hard. Since so many people who don't know how to deal with a person that God raises up in their family. Got it? That's not the person you ought to be jealous of. Amen. That's not the person you need to get with other folk to talk about. Because anybody who's been raised up by God is going to be the object of a lot of criticism.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. But because Joseph was raised up to a place of blessings in the crunch time,
yes,
he was the deliverer for his brothers.
Yes. Right.
Amen. So dealing with others from the blessed state is important. And you got to understand, the scripture says that if you've been faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. So if God, look, if you start turning your nose up at folk when you got a, you know, you change cars, it wasn't a new car, just a, you know, a better used car. Why would God trust you with a brand new car? You know what I'm saying? You ain't speaking now because you get old. You had a 10-year-old car. Now you got a 3-year-old car. You understand? You ain't speak. Now, why would God bless you with something just come off the assembly line?
That's right.
All right, now, number 4. To validate the testimony of the word working in your life. Look, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. See, if I'm talking it and it's not manifesting, then there is no validation. But the Bible says that we judge the tree by the fruit. Amen. So what did I tell you? Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 33. Matthew 12, 33. It says, either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Amen. Tree is known by its what? By its fruit. So I understand that the manifested blessing of God, the fruit of my faith, it's a testament that, yes, the word is working. Amen. If you obey and serve him, you ought to spend your days in prosperity, your years in pleasure. That ought to be a reality. Amen. Then it's to testify of the faithfulness of God to deliver on his promises. To testify of the faithfulness of God to deliver on his promise. When you have declared that you're using your faith and you got the fruit to back it up, and you can show folk, I did this from the word of God, it is a testament that God does keep his word.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for that little weak happy hand clap. I got somebody way in the back, but much love, I appreciate it. No, I'm just serious. I mean, really, see, I got to tell you, until I met my mentor and saw what I saw in here operating in his life, I mean, it was some doubts in my mind. Can God do this today?
Yeah.
Turn to Isaiah 61. But when I saw it in the word, and the man says, these are the steps, and he showed me the steps right out of the Bible, and he said, look, and here's the results.
Amen. That's right.
I wonder where God is still delivering.
That's right.
Amen. God is still delivering. God does still heal. My wife used to have migraine headaches when I married her. I didn't know I was marrying all that, but I didn't know I was marrying that, you know, because you've been having headaches and you don't want you to walk, don't want you to talk. Any of y'all ever having migraine? Any migraine people who had them or dealing with them? You understand what I'm talking about? It's like, it's more, you know, be quiet. I mean, I ain't said nothing yet. I just walked in the room, you understand? You know, just show me, you got to take these shots. That's extra money. That wasn't in the budget. You can't have no headache this week. You can't have no headache this week. That is not in the budget. We found out healing from the word of God. Laid hands on her, released faith for healing. She got healed of migraine headaches. Ain't had a headache since. And that's 20-some years ago? Well, with a of God. You know, that's all I can do. I didn't grow up dancing. That was as much dance as I could do right then. So that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's my dance. That's all I got. Now, Isaiah 61. Come on now. Y'all quit playing. Isaiah 61. Watch this. Watch this now. Isaiah 61. I want you to look there with me in verse 9. It says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Glory be to God. Folks, see what's going on. It say, you can tell them this is the Lord's doing. Marvelous in mind.
Glory.
And then they'll say, well, if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. Amen. So God testifies of his it testifies of his faithfulness, the blessings of God in your life. Testify of the faithfulness of God to keep his word, to deliver on the promise. That's why you shouldn't be bashful with it. This is what God has done. Amen. Now, so there is an attack that you have to be willing to withstand that tries to diminish the impact and the purpose of your fruit. And you can diminish this attack by always doing several things. Now, the devil wants to make little of what God does in your life. And if you have an improper relationship with things, then the devil will cause things to have you. And the things will alter how you operate. Number one, here's some things I need to do so that I can diminish the attack of the devil to, you know, discredit what God has done. I want to always be grateful to God for the things. Now, God may raise up others to help me, but I'm grateful to God. Amen? All right. Now, unfortunately, the Bible talks about God healing 10 lepers. Only one came back. Amen. So you got to understand that there's a pull on you that once you get it, to forget the giver. Yes. Amen. Number two, always make use of them to positively impact life. Always make use of the blessings of God to positively impact life. Your testimony of healing to encourage somebody. Amen. You know, your deliverance from worry and stress to positively impact others. Number three, always maintain them to express your appreciation of God. Don't believe God for a house and then won't keep it clean. Amen. Amen. Or you believe God for better clothes and you won't take care of them. They land all in the floor. You're stepping all over them. Come on now. I thought about something funny. I believe God for a new car or better car, and then you won't keep the car clean. Now I started laughing because I was, it's a very reputable source I was listening to today. Said a study was done. No, I can't say that. I can't say it. I'm going to put that on tape. I'll tell you all that later. I just ain't going to put that on tape about people who don't keep their car clean. But I can't say it now. All right, number. Y'all remind me to tell you here. I just don't want to put on my tape. All right. Always express to others the source of your blessings. In other words, let his praise continually be in your mouth. Amen. Let his praise continue. You know, Bridget and I sometimes, you know, we sit up and we think about the blessings of God and we just do this here. And then we forget sometimes we be in public and folks start waving back like. We wasn't waving at them. We just praising the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And somebody said, oh, you. Number five, always avoid falling in love with your blessing.
That's right.
The person said, don't fall in love with your stuff. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Don't fall in love with your stuff. The tragedy of falling in love with things is when you're consumed with things and things then begin to challenge your passion for the things of God. That's a pitfall. You have to choose not to let the devil trip you up. Amen. Now, the reason I really think that there needs to be more teaching at this level is simply because if you work the word, it will work. at where we're. And if your heart's not settled on how to deal with the things, you'll be thrust into a level of living that you won't know how to handle.
That's right.
Amen. Got it? All right. Here in Luke chapter 12, there in verse 16, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to put, where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy food, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I got to understand now, the whole point of this thing, in this parable, was God didn't mind the man being blessed, but the man looked at his blessing and totally forgot everybody else. All he talks in here about me and mine. Me, mine, and I.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with my stuff? I'm going to do this. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you're all right now. You made it. And the Bible says, now what are you going to do if that is the night that his soul is required of him?
Yeah.
And you got to leave it all. Amen. And you got to understand that you can't let things take the place of God. They'd like to. It's easy for them too. It's easy. A lot of people say they have faith in God, but really, bottom line, they got faith in their job.
Amen.
Amen. And you got to grow out of that.
Amen.
So your reliance is really on God. Story was told, and a guy asked a question. He said, when one of the Rockefellers died, the guy asked his counselor, well, how much did he leave? And God told him all of it. How much did he leave? All of it. He ain't taking none of this with you. So you shouldn't let it control you. You ought to stay in control of it. You are a manager of it. Amen? Now, so it's tragedy when you fall in love with your things. Now, for the next few moments, we're going to go through this list. And I hope you don't find yourself on the list. I got 12 things I'm going to deal with. But if you do, you need to step back and put things in proper perspective, so that things don't have you. God doesn't mind you having things, but he don't want things to have you. All right. You may have fallen in love with your things when you began to subconsciously measure your worth by the things you have. Got it? In other words, you measure who you are in life by what you have. And the Bible says in Luke 12:15, the Bible says a man's life does not consist in the bundles of things he possesses. Number two, when you are willing to compromise your values and morals to get more. I mean, what are you willing to compromise to get more? Will you lie to get more? Who will you stab in the back to get more? That means you're falling in love with things. Number three, when caring for your fruit challenges your faithfulness to your godly commitments. That is, you cutting the lawn when you ought to be in church. You were in church before you got the house. Hallelujah. You were in church before you got the house because you came to Bible study. You understand? And you came to the Saturday meetings, But now, you got your new house, got to cut my lawn on Saturday,
Amen.
When caring for my stuff challenges my commitment to the things of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. When you when you violate well thought out budgets to get things you don't need,
Amen.
Could be falling in love with them. Number five, I don't get quiet up through and hear this one part. You start looking to things to do for you what only a relationship with God can do.
Amen.
Hallelujah, glory, amen, amen. When I get nervous, I go shopping. That is not what the Bible said to do. When I worry, I go, that is not. The Bible said when you get worried, it didn't say go cast money into the cash register. It said cast your care on the Lord. Number what? Why am I not number what? Number six. You may be falling in love with things when you fail to use things you have before getting other unnecessary stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number seven. I'm going to just keep moving. When you fear God may ask you for some of your things. In other words, you do not you're afraid that God would ask you for something. Amen. And you don't want to give to him. Amen. You could be falling in love with your things. Now, I tell y'all something happened to me the other day. I was in a cold place. Where were we in Michigan? What, 12 degrees and snowing and that sort of thing? And this preacher, you know, he said, I got an awesome fur coat, you know, full length fur. I don't need it here in Texas, in Houston especially. But, you know, when I'm on the road, you know, I got to represent. Got to represent. So, you know, I got on my flowing, you know, I call it my bag, you understand? Got my bag on, you understand? So this preacher's in mine. He said, oh, man. And this guy's in Texas, too. And he said, oh, I sure like that, man. I sure like that. And, you know, I'm on. I said, oh, man, why don't you try it on? Try it on. And then I thought when he was trying on, I said, God, don't tell me to give my... God, don't tell me to... Because if he tells me, I'm going to give it to him. That's all to it, you know. I am not going to give it to him. But I'm saying, Lord, I hope you don't tell me to give it, because it's cold out there. Tell me when I get home. Let me mail it to him. But don't tell me right now. It is really, I mean, it's cold. You know, I mean, it's snowing. And you know, we ain't used to snow. We don't play that here in Texas, in Houston. Amen. But see, you come here and if I can tell sometime when I'm preaching. And I'm sure if I'm teaching my money. And y'all think I'm going to raise a second offering. You just kind of sit back like, I ain't doing it. You can ask for it. I ain't giving it. And then sometimes I just go and put you in a relaxed state. Say, I'm not going to receive a second offer. And you go, yeah. It's like, I can receive, not can receive. Afraid God going to ask you for some of your money. Amen. Amen. All right. And so you got to get to the point where if you're willing, if God asks you for something, you give it up. Amen. He'll give it back to you. All right. I'm in love. I could be falling in love with my things when... God asks you for your things, and you attempt to justify why you refuse to give it to him. What they doing with the money around here anyway? I ain't gonna give her that. She ain't gonna treat it right. God said, you know, you see somebody with some clothes, and with a clothes, and a lady, or you know, not dressed properly, also, and the Spirit of God said, why don't you give her five of your dresses? Five of your dresses. Then you go, I'm buying that. I know that ain't God. She can't get them clean no way. She can't get them clean. She can't have them. She ain't buying them. So you start justifying, rationalizing why you shouldn't obey God. That could be God. Amen. She ain't never had this kind of dress. You know how long it took me to buy this kind of dress? And I'm just giving them to her. This is St. John. You don't give St. John's away. Hallelujah. Amen. Why am I not? Number what? All right. You develop a false independence because you trust your things and not God. Number what? When your things consume you so that you have no time for family. Number what? When your fruit causes you to redefine your late relationship with others who have less. Right. You know, when you arrive and your homie hadn't arrived and now you can't deal with the homie anymore. Amen. Because now you can only hang with people who have what you have. Hallelujah. Number 12. Ain't that number 12? When your thoughts are more consumed with things than they are with God. What do you think about most? Monitor your thoughts of your mind. And when you monitor the thoughts of your mind, if you're always thinking about getting this, plan, this, plan, this, plan, and there are no thoughts of the goodness of God and your appreciation with God, you could have crossed the line and fallen in love with things. All right. What does God want to do with my fruit? God wants to use my fruit to testify of his faithfulness to keep his word. Hebrews 12 and 1. Just make a note of it. I'm going to rush to the end. I have about 5 more minutes and then I'll be finished with you. There are times when others, the Bible, Hebrews 12 and 1 there, talks about the great cloud of witnesses. There are times when we need the testimonies of others. Amen. Amen. And God wants you to be available for him to use the fruit of your faith to testify, to be a word of encouragement to others. There are four times when people need to hear testimony. Number one, when they've exhausted all their natural options and only the supernatural can bring them hope and the manifestation. See, there are times in people's lives, I had times in my life when all natural options were totally exhausted. Close with the testimony about the car. God had to move supernatural. I had no credit. And I got to tell you, the bank had never checked my credit. I bought a brand new car from a bank, and he never checked my credit. It was only some years later that he checked my credit. He saw, he said, boy, if I had a known this. Now, Dave, of course, I have AAA, you wouldn't hardly believe it, credit now. But it was supernatural. God gave me supernatural favor. See, that's why I can stand and tell you, no matter how tough it looks, no matter how bad it looks in the natural, we serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But number two, people need our testimonies when they have been standing in faith with only meager results, yet they know their harvest is not far away. And that is, when you've got the fruit of faith, you can stand up and give a testimony. And you can tell them, I know you've been after it. I know you've been holding on to your confession. But you can't give up now. You're so close.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you've been turned down 9 times. I got turned down 20.
Amen.
Hey, don't give up now.
Amen.
You got 11 more to go.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. So I think many of you probably can identify with having stood in faith and it just hadn't worked like you wanted to work. But I can tell you, I've been there. You got it? Where just, you know, the abundance had come. Yeah, my needs are met. Praise the Lord. You know, yeah, you know, seeing some results, but it ain't happened like I really believe it to happen.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, I believe for the hundreds have manifested, but I'm really believing for the thousands.
Amen.
I can tell you, hey, hang with it, stay with it.
Amen.
We used to speak in our wallets, I believe hundreds for the kingdom of God, hundreds for me. That's where we started. Then we got the hundreds down. I said, speak thousands for the kingdom and thousands for me.
Amen.
See, now I'm speaking millions for the kingdom and millions for me.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Number three, people need my testimony, and God wants to use my fruit to testify of his faithfulness when God has given them a task that is beyond the resources at their disposal. Amen. When God tells a preacher to build, bank won't give no money. Folk act like they don't want to give no money. I can tell you, hey, God's a God who will go exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think.
Amen.
I tell preachers all the time, folks are going to pay for your bill and ain't there yet.
That's right, man.
You don't not obey God because you don't see the folk.
That's right.
They haven't come yet.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of y'all come here since we built the Family Life Center? You've come here since we built the Family Life Center. Wait a minute. Yeah, see? You was on your way here. The Family Life Center, not this building, the Family Life Center. That's the other building, that's the children's church. How many of you all have joined church since we have built that? What's that? Since 95. Raise your hand. All right, see, you weren't here, but you were on your way. God knew you were coming, I did too. That's why we built it. Thank you for helping us pay for it. Much love. Amen. See, and so people can be inspired when God told me to go on television. Told me to go on television, I had no money. But by faith, I obeyed it, and he made the way. So people need to hear your testimony and see the fruit of your faith. We've been on television 20 years. See, we were on television as a Baptist church. Mm-hmm. That's right. The miracle that I got on going on television happened when I was in the Baptist church. Glory be to God. Well, maybe 18 and a half years. Maybe 18 and a half years. Maybe not close to 20. Round it off 20. Had no money. No resources. God gave me a task beyond the resources at my disposal. But he pulled it off supernaturally.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Finally, God wants to use your faith, your fruit of your faith, as a testimony to inspire others when Satan is attempting to snuff out their dreams with persecution. Hallelujah. The Bible says we can only get the hundredfold with persecution. Hundredfold represents God's best, his optimum. Got it? And I got to tell you, when you start walking the faith and start acquiring the blessings of the Lord, the persecution comes. Persecution is only or will only affect you to the degree that you need acceptance from those who are talking about you. If you've already settled, all you need acceptance from is God. What other folks say don't have to stop you, won't have to bother you. And of course, I tell all the pastors when they start hanging with me, I told them not to, like I told Pastor Danzy, I told them, say, your persecution coming, brother. They hear you, you learning the principles of faith, and you're hanging with me, brother, they are going to talk about you. But I got to tell you this, you'll find it'll work. The word will work just like I'm telling you it's going to work. And if you can handle a persecution, you can go to a whole nother level in life. Amen. Well, I don't even have to talk about preachers. Some of y'all here, you here at this church. And folks find out where you're going to church. Oh, y'all that with the helicopter preacher. Oh, and then that ain't going to start to persecute you, understand? You got to understand, persecution doesn't have to stop you.
That's right.
Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ suffer persecution. So I'm not to tell folk when the persecution heat get on, I gotta tell them you gotta endure it, because if you can endure it, God said you can handle more.
Amen.
See, he cannot bless you beyond what you can handle. And if you can't handle persecution, it would be unfair of God to put you in a place which you can't handle, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13.
That's right.
Amen.
So when you demonstrate you can handle it all, God said, all right now, she can handle more. I can give him some more. Amen. And I got to stop because I don't have any more time. I trust you got blessed tonight.